It's Tuesday, the 8th of June. Welcome to Digital Outbox episode 51. Hello, joining me tonight is Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hello. And nobody else.
No, that's it.
That's it. They've all got fed up with our inane Apple ramblings.
Yep. Indeedy.
And we've got nothing to talk about with Apple tonight, have we?
No, nothing Apple related. Nothing to see here.
So I must admit, since you told me to put the date in at the start, I feel pressurised into getting the date right.
Yeah, so was that why you stopped the recording first time?
I just had that moment of doubt. It's like, when is it?
Where am I? What am I doing?
And this is officially our birthday issue, I think.
It is. Happy birthday.
I keep saying issue. We're not a magazine. But yeah, I think it's happy one.
Let's blow out the candle.
Exactly. I'm one today.
It's pretty, you know, it is over. It was last year's WDC. It was the first episode of Digital Outbox, wasn't it? So we.
I might even add it in.
I think we should.
Right now. Hi, and welcome to episode one of Digital Outbox. My name is Ian.
Hi, I'm Shaquille, and we're both really excited to bring you our podcast, which will cover the latest tech news from all around the world.
Indeed, super excited and super nervous. It's the first time we've done this, first time we've podcasted, and hopefully you'll find it quite interesting. And then we'll come back and go, ha ha ha, how bad did me and Shaquille sound then?
Well, it can't sound any worse than me. I'm very snotty and coffee today, so... excuse me if I burst out into...
You sound like coffee.
Coffee and snotty. That sounds like a cartoon character.
Stop it. Let's crack on. Our fantastically great new government has made probably one of the biggest steps to freeing the data so far. They've published the entire spending database, all 120 gigabytes of it online.
This is spending above a certain number of pounds, isn't it? Is it £500?
Yeah. So this is called the Combined Online Information System, or COINS.
Nice. Do you think they got the acronym before they worked out what they wanted to call it?
Probably. I don't know if it was deliberate as well to tie it up with, because it's all about money.
It's got to be.
But, 120 gig. So at the moment, I don't think me and you can download it. They're trying to get... industry partners to download it, come up with a way of browsing that data.
Yeah, which The Guardian did, didn't they?
The Guardian have. They've got a Coins Explorer up and running. I think it was the next day, you know, so hats off to them.
There's plenty of Guardian journalists out there poring over all the data for us anyway, so they'll pick out anything they particularly find interesting.
Well, like the day after, the government has spent $1.8 billion on consultants just in the last year. Which is a phenomenal amount of money.
It's a lot of money when they don't really listen to what they say anyway.
Exactly. I'd love to know what the return is on that $1.8 billion. Yeah, £0.03.
Well, we may never know.
No.
But anyway, the direction of this is, again, it's another... The government have taken on board the, you know, let's release all the data and let people
Absolutely.
Have a look at it.
And it was published via BitTorrent.
Yep. Amazing.
Amazing.
So they could probably just track who downloaded it.
Sky and Virgin. A couple of changes to their services, really. So Sky's bought Virgin TV channels.
Right? So when you say buy, do you mean buy to show?
No, actually, they've bought the channels.
Oh,
so
okay.
Living and other ones that Virgin actually owned are now bought and owned by Sky. And I can't remember what the fee was, but also in return, Virgin now have will now have the option to show Sky Sports and movies in HD, and also the Sky's basic HD channels, which have been restricted up to now. So I think it sounds like a win-win for everybody.
It's more channels available across more platforms. It's got to be good, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think there's a... I'm not quite sure on time, as in when this actually takes place. I'm pretty sure for the Sky Sports new football season will be up and running.
You've got to be, really, haven't they?
At the same time, Sky have also announced Anytime Plus, which is their video on demand service. And I guess the Sky's Anytime service really confused, certainly confused my neighbours who moved from Virgin to Sky and were massively disappointed at their lack of choice, because Anytime isn't video on demand.
No, Anytime is video that gets downloaded in the background when your Skybox isn't doing anything.
Yes.
And basically then you can watch them on a schedule, but you're free to watch them whenever. It's almost like having, you know, it chooses what goes in your planner.
Yeah? Exactly. All, to me, that's all it was. It was just an extension to what you can record.
And I turned it off straight away because it just meant the box chuntered away.
The box chuntered away and it seemed to crash more and yes, annoyed me. And also half the stuff I didn't want to watch. In fact,
I've got an HD box without an HD subscription. And so half the content that got downloaded was HD and I couldn't watch it.
Oh, nasty.
Yep.
And the worst thing for me about it as well was, if I turn it off, let me use that disk space to record. And no.
And it didn't know you couldn't do that.
No. So this is our video on demand service, which is to try and rival. I mean, Virgin's got a massive, you know, catalogue to view.
Right. So this is the equivalent of the Virgin, you know, watching any, you know, on demand.
Yes. So okay. this is through their Ethernet port on Skyboxes.
Oh, I don't know if I've got one of them.
Oh, well, okay then.
Maybe I have, I don't know.
So it launches later this year. Anything Plus will launch, or when it launches, will offer 1,000 hours of content. And at the moment, it's going to be Sky Arts, Movies, Sky One, and Sky Sports. And I think there's selected key partners like ESPN and National Geographic. But Movies seems to be the focus. They reckon around 500 being made available at launch, which is quite a lot.
So. Does Virgin is obviously, everyone's on cable when they get Virgin,
yes,
is that right?
And that's,
so they can pump stuff down that wire into your,
yes,
box.
So the choice is honestly, I mean, I don't like the Virgin box front end, but when you go and look at their video on demand offerings, it's fairly massive compared to...
How are they going to do this for, say, me, who's not on a fabulous ADSL connection? How am I going to be able to get enough data down to actually make this happen?
So... initially, it's going to be launched, and they're focusing on making it available to Sky broadband connection users first.
So, not me then.
Yeah. Now, they've said they will roll it out to everybody, but only once the service is stable. Now, if you think back to viewing Sky on the Xbox, it wasn't a very good experience at the start.
I've not really done it. I know that they had problems.
And a lot of people were criticising it, and I don't know if this is going to be a Gently Bentley launch. And that they'll just take their time, make sure they're happy with it. And also, if they can turn around and say, by the way, you get video on demand if you join Sky Broadband, I'm sure that's a nice little plus point to getting customers over.
And why not? I don't see any problem with that. But what I do see is that this is only going to be available to unbundled exchanges. I don't see it working down standard ADSL lines.
Exactly. Which again limits it down. But
so it's not going to quite get onto Virgin's thing. But then again, most areas that don't have unbundled exchanges don't have cable available to their streets.
So. And it's back to the same problem. It's all the same demographic that they're chasing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not capturing this missing chunk.
Still, that's not Sky's fault.
Probably not. I guess it's an industry fault.
It's a UK. You know, needs UK investment rather than individual companies.
And the actual, just as you said that, the government did do a little announcement today on that.
Have they? Okay.
Yes. Which I know I should have prepped and ready, but I don't. I'm just looking it up right now. Government lays out Fastnet plan. So UK's culture secretary has been talking tough on broadband. He says the previous government's commitment to a paltry 2 megabits per second was pitifully unambitious. He said it was a scandal that nearly 3 million households cannot access even this speed. His goal was to provide Britain with the best superfast broadband network in Europe, but he didn't give any details about how this would actually happen.
He probably doesn't know how much it's going to cost him yet.
No.
So
Well, he says the biggest cost involved in rolling out new fibre optic networks is digging up the roads. So I think what they're talking about is new regulation to force water, gas and electricity companies to open up their ducts. So, time will tell.
Sewage broadband. Good.
Well, that is the... If you remember I can't remember how long ago that was now, but there was a, was it not Dundee and Southampton?
Yeah, yeah.
There was two players, they were selected, and it was a company doing the old run it through the sewage network. And it was, it was very fast broadband.
Was it? Shite broadband, it was called.
There goes my clean tag for this one. And that's just because they're sewage. Some quick stories to rattle through. Intel has delayed USB 3. And I just can't fathom this out, but Intel's holding up USB 3 adoption by delaying its motherboard chipset until 2012.
It's all very, very strange. I mean, you, technology in certain areas of computing obviously moves every 2 seconds. For some reason, USB 3 has not been adopted, and there seems to be underlying reasons.
But there's hard drives you can go in. There's external drives with USB 3 support. But just not very many motherboards out there.
You can buy, you know, hubs that are USB 3. It's
exactly.
Just that the Intel and general manufacturers aren't putting them in as default for some reason.
So the hint here seems to be it's Lightpeak. This talked about technology from Intel.
So Intel probably wants to push that. It's I don't know.
Office web apps are now live. So if you go to office.live.com, you can now create a Word, Excel, PowerPoint document.
Not just one, either.
No, because it comes with 25 gigabyte of storage, which is pretty phenomenal.
And just before we came online, I did have a look at the Word implementation. I'll tell you what, it looks great.
Yeah. So I used a little hack previously to access like Word and Excel, and it took a lot longer than it does now to load up. It actually loads up pretty speedy.
It certainly looks a lot more inviting than Google Docs does.
Yeah. You know? And I mean, I'd put in the notes, it's basic, but I think overall it's got a lot more functionality than the Google equivalent. And it also, they've got real-time collaboration in there as well.
Yep. So go have a look.
Definitely. HP have tied up with Google, and they're going to give a printer, or every HP printer, an email address, or every, I guess it's every printer that supports this functionality, an email address.
Yes, this is trying to combat the problem where you have things like Chrome OS, which don't have any sort of attachments, but how do you then go and print? So, and I guess from things like the iPad as well.
Yep.
So how do you print from a device like that?
So Google had talked about doing this whole cloud printing service. And then, as you're saying, with things like iPad and iPhones and all these other wirelessly connected devices, how do you print? And this seems to be the way. Via email.
But I guess will it end up being like faxes? You know, where you just got junk faxes coming through. Well, now they're going to spam your printer. I assume that's going to be a way around it.
Unless there's some sort of, I don't know if there'll be some sort of key that you need to, you know, hand over with your email, and it's only if it comes from a certain address does it print. I don't know. Surely they've got to do something.
They've got to do something, but you know, it's maybe it has to come from an internal address or something. I don't know.
Yep, and Google have abandoned Windows for better security, following on from all the nonsense back in January about being hacked in China and kind of pinning it onto IE and Windows. New hires at Google now are no longer offered Windows PCs, and the choice is an Apple Mac or a PC with Linux.
And as people have pointed out and Microsoft said, well, you know, nothing's really that secure, so whatever you choose, you're still going to be in the same situation.
But you're not.
No.
You're not in the same situation.
For me, this, you know, I kind of almost consider it a non-story. It's an interesting story as far as, okay, they're doing it. But, you know, I didn't take it as the big story that everyone thought it was this week. I don't know what your thoughts are.
I kind of do. Because if Google want to start offering Chrome as an enterprise tool, yet back within Google themselves, they're still using Windows, you know, PCs. I think they've had to move away, especially just that. I mean, there was a lot of flack around January at the time. You know, they pointed it back in IE's direction. People were shocked that Google were running these, but of course, Google's got to run, you know, Windows machines. They do a lot of Windows software.
Yeah.
So
they're,
you know, they're not going to be exclusively Chrome or exclusively Mac or exclusively Linux.
I mean, but the thing is, the future of their development, as far as I see it, is on the web, and web programming. It doesn't matter. That's the point. It's open, so it doesn't matter where you create your content and how you do it. because the platform it delivers by is not anything to do with the operating system.
Indeed. So now we come on to... we need Shaquille here. We need Shaquille here for his fanboyism.
We need some excited giggling.
Probably. We also need Henry for a woohoo. I just can't do it the same as him.
he definitely gets into the Microsoft. I told you I was vacant today. Microphone distorting territory, doesn't he?
Yes. So WWDC keynote was yesterday. We all foolishly sat online. And it was 2 hours of our life that we'll never get back.
Every time I do it, I think, why did I just do that? And again, I have missed out one keynote and I'm never going to do it again. I'm going to wait till the following day.
That's a strong word.
Never, yeah.
I'm sure it's true. I'm never going to buy an iPad. So let's kick off with iPad. Well, and I don't want to dwell on this too much, just more because I'm tired of it already. But we will cover, I guess, some of our thoughts on it. So iPad, pretty amazing sales figures. They're selling one every 3 seconds.
Is that worldwide? Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a kind of scary figure. And that's 2 million in less than 60 days.
Who are these people that are buying it?
Well, if you look at that, is it Computex? Is that the right name for the show that was in Taiwan last week? It's CompuSomething. I don't know what it is. But I'm sure there was 40 odd different Android tablet devices demoed.
Yeah, people trying to get on the back of it.
And I think it was around 20 Windows ones. So you've only got one iPad and 2 million buyers, and you've got potentially 60 others coming within the next 6 to 12 months. That is a pretty phenomenal figure.
Yes, considering there still is contested usage case.
considering was it about 8, 9, 10 years ago, Bill Gates stood up with his tablet?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and was talking about tablet as now is the time for tablet. It's scary, 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 scary.
What Apple does, isn't it? I mean, it's the opposite of what normally happens. You know, you ask people in advance of whether they're going to buy something, and they all kind of go, yeah, 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 sure. And when it actually comes out, you know, let's take the Palm Pre as an example, no one buys it. In this case, it's completely the opposite. Everyone said, no, I wouldn't do that, and I certainly wouldn't do it, you know, if it was any more than 400 quid.
I did
and
have.
They come out and yep. Everyone buys them for 800 quid.
Well, not everyone.
No.
And it was 700.
You're not one you've bought all your accessories, my friend.
700. Come on.
Accessories and case and £50 worth of apps, was it, before launch?
100. The 100.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. I feel kind of embarrassed myself now. And you know what?
And you're going to use Elements for what?
Well, I used it on the plane this morning to demo some things.
Exactly.
So the whole point of this was so that I could entertain myself on the plane. Unfortunately, I just entertained two other people sitting next to me.
And now they know intricately what hydrogen and helium look like.
Yeah. Well, one of them did actually say, "I think I might have to buy one of these."
I reckon they've put something in this thing, haven't they? They've got some sort of, I don't know, maybe it gives an aura of...
It's magical. Jobs keeps on saying it's magical.
Crack cocaine smoke or something.
It's magical. Yeah, I must admit, I do, when I'm using it for like browsing and stuff, I just think it's just lovely.
Maybe it's got liquid LSD on it or something and you'll have to lick your fingers after. Touch it, look, you'll never be the same again.
Maybe it's true, because I was chopping a chilli when I came home and I did actually rub my eye, and that affected me. So maybe it wasn't a strong one, so I'm fine. So alongside that iPad, and again, they had all these different stats on screen, and to be honest, I don't even care about them, but there's some iBook updates that now supports. So iBooks is the software for viewing books on iPhones and iPad, and it's now going to support Notes, it's going to support PDFs, one-click bookmarking, it's coming to the iPhone, and it'll do wireless syncing between all the different devices.
Yeah, very Kindle-esque, isn't it? So they're
yes.
And as you would have almost expected it to launch with all that kind of stuff because of the Kindle, but nevertheless, they're filling in the feature set now.
Yeah.
And it's
I was surprised it didn't have the PDFs out the door, but it's good to see that there now.
Yeah, and that's quite important for publishers as well. Because, you know, if they're publishing a magazine via, you know, desktop publisher, then the chances are they can easily export to PDF and stuff.
Yeah, the magazine stuff really irritates me, but I must admit. I know, I'm doing a... Did we talk about this last night?
I can't remember. There's lots of deja vu going on at the moment.
Yeah, I'm just realising that I'm saying this and I'm thinking, did I do this in last week's podcast or was it last night? Sorry, listeners. if you look at iPad and magazines, there's no way to do subscriptions. It's either the app, and you need to go into the app, and I'm guessing they could do a push notification in the app. But then, as I pointed out, I'm sure it was last night I was talking to you, I was saying that...
Yeah, it was last night.
Yeah, because it's an in-app purchase, that doesn't appear at the top of the stores anymore. So if you're a magazine, all you're caring about, or not all you're caring about, but you're wanting to get your brand out there, and if it's slowly disappearing over time, and you know, if you take Wired, every month a new release is probably going to plop up to the top of the charts again.
I think I was expecting when it came out that, you know, iBooks was announced, that it would be
magazine,
there would be
platform,
an integrated,
yeah,
system, almost where you have you know, magazine shelves.
Yeah, definitely.
Like you would in a shop, and
yep,
you can see which are the new releases. But it's not like that. They've kind of let the developers go and do their own thing.
Yes.
But that does mean it's not tied, it's not integrated as they normally like it to be, you know, with the end-to-end solution.
And that's what it feels, you know, missing.
We're probably going to talk in a bit about, you know,
yeah, yeah,
someone that's going to jump in and maybe fill that hole.
Definitely. And one stat, I said we wouldn't do too many stats, but 22% of ebook sales already. And that's just scary. But I guess that's just the volume of selling that many iPads.
Yes. Well, and with everyone wanting to test out the features.
Yeah, I don't read books and I've bought a book. They then showed some crazy demos. Is it worth saying? Well, you play Farmville, so you're probably quite excited that Farmville's coming to the iPhone.
I'm really actually not. But yes, it's coming out onto iPhone, so there goes another, well, few hours of wasted life.
Thankfully, I've never played it, but I have played Wii Rule, which, as we found out yesterday, is exactly the same thing.
Yeah, so you're all superior.
Yep. It's a scary stat. I know I said I wouldn't do stat. 15,000 apps are submitted every week.
Look, all these stats were purely to sort of say to people,
get a
grip, everyone.
Give us a break.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, get a grip. We're getting screwed over by people coming along saying we're doing a bad job. I mean, in some cases, deservedly, people are shouting and screaming, but, you know, they're trying to say that we're getting inundated. We do most of these things within 7 days, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I think that's
95% are approved.
Yeah, I think that's what I took out of it, was just the, if you look at the sheer volume, no wonder, like, every so often there's an app getting wrongly, you know, banned or whatever.
I think, but the argument is, that's not a fair argument, that they're not saying the right things there.
No.
A bit like Facebook and their privacy, people are not so worried necessarily about them banning an occasional app. It's the direction they're taking it in, which is that they control.
I don't think even the banning's that bad. It's the fact that the app was okay yesterday and is now banned today. You know,
yeah,
so I've been a developer and I've had an app for now 6 months. Like, so they started banning some what was it they called it last week? Desktop apps. Was it desktop apps? So everybody started thinking they're going to do some sort of widget platform. So an app on the iPad that kind of gives you little widgets, they're saying, well, it's now banned, but it's been fine for the last 6 weeks. You know, and things like that, I think, are really quite
me,
shady.
For me, it's their moral angle and the way they control it. That's
no
what
porn.
I have more of an issue with.
No porn.
Well, yeah, but then I was going through the app store the other day and there was, I don't know, Sex Positions Live or something. I don't know what it was, but it blatantly, you know.
Porn.
I don't know how that got in there. And they still haven't banned things like Playboy, have they?
No.
Because they went and grabbed the money for that.
Because it's a brand.
Yeah, but you know, two-tiered.
So, on to the non-announcement, iPhone 4.
What a surprise.
Exactly.
And gosh, it looked like we knew it was going to look like.
And the worst thing was an hour and a half of this iPhone 4.
Yeah, they went through 8 points, and we were all getting excited about the eighth point, and it ended up being rubbish. So
yes, so the first point was actually the design, which you poo-pooed. You were like, I can still hear you going, "What? That's a point." But I do actually think the design is.
They said
nice.
It was eight features, didn't they?
Yeah. So I think just they've put great emphasis and. They put great emphasis on, you know, the type of glass they've used, and it's the strongest glass and all this kind of nonsense in the backs and the fronts, and it's scratch-proof, and the antenna's the actual stainless steel around the outside. And it actually looks a pretty clever design. But
yeah. I mean, but as Bond pointed out, glass in the front and back just means two things you can smash rather than one thing.
Yeah, but during the demo yesterday, they didn't allow anybody to do it, but they're pretty confident that people will struggle to smash this. that was the thing of chuckle I had when I heard that.
Will it blend?
Do you remember a BBC reporter, and I'm sure he was at CES.
Yeah, the indestructible.
And he says, "Go on, just try and break it," and he broke it.
Smash. Yeah.
And that it is kind of asking for that kind of test. I actually thought the design was nice. I do actually like the design.
I like the design. I think it is good looking.
Right. With that one out the way, we got on to. Oh, and we've said design. How can I not mention Johnny Ives? Watch the video, and honestly, somebody have a word with him. It's just getting too much. I must pull out some static pictures of his facial expressions.
He's like an orgasmatron.
He is.
Over his own designs.
It's either that or somebody's got the iPhone 4 in a place where it shouldn't be.
It's got it on vibrate.
Phone me, Steve, phone me.
Oh, that's magical.
Maybe he's using FaceTime. Who knows what Steve was doing while Johnny was doing his video. Bless. So they need to calm down on that. It's really just getting over the top. To me, it started off with the unibody stuff, and I think, yeah, it's great engineering, but it's just there's just too much. Talk about the engineering, but you can just talk about it normally without getting a hard on over it. Anyway.
It's quite enough of that.
On to the next stupidly named thing, but it actually looks amazing. Retina display.
Retina display.
So called because... As the microscope had told us last week, the display has moved on to a 960 by 640 pixel display, which works out at 326 pixels per inch, which is more or higher resolution than the human retina can see.
So, yeah, 960 by 640 is a huge number of pixels in it. Was it 3.5-inch display?
Yes.
Something like that. It's... pretty impressive. I mean, so what they're saying is, you know, your brain no longer perceives any kind of jaggedness or any kind of pixelation. It just looks smooth. And although we were kind of when it was going through and we're talking about it, we're kind of almost poo-pooing it a bit. Since people have come in and actually said, no, you need to see this thing because it's pretty amazing.
And I think ignoring people like Gruber, who's a bit of an Apple guy, but like Ryan Block, who is in GDGT, and he's been equally as scathing as Apple, and I think he's pretty even-handed in his comments. He just said the screen was like, wow. You know, and I think a lot of people who actually went and then used it and tried it, and I saw a video of it last night, and I thought, that does look really nice. But I think it's back to it's seeing it in the flesh and comparing it with what you've got just now.
Yes, I mean, but again, as we all know, that resolution is something your eyes get used to very quickly, though.
Yeah.
You soon lose that wow effect once it just becomes the norm. But that pixel density is higher than, you know, your old...
It's higher than my iPad.
Well, yeah. I wonder if that's part of the way they've done it, so, you know, iPad apps can actually run... You know,
well, some of the tweets I saw today from people was, I want my next iMac to have that pixel density.
Yeah.
Which
that would end up being actually ridiculous processing power, though.
Oh, you'd think so.
Yeah.
But you do wonder if it's a step in where they're going to go. You wonder if the next panels will start to have an increased pixel density.
I can't imagine you're going to get a graphics card that can do that. I mean, that's like having... two high-def monitors in one, isn't it?
Oh, I can't see it going to the 326, but I do wonder if they'll at least try and increase it. Anyway, A4 chip, better battery life, a gyroscope, I still have visions of people doing Wii type games on the train.
They turned it into the Wiimote, yeah.
Yeah. The cameras are all improved as expected, so 5 megapixels.
Only 5 megapixels, but they're kind of saying that it's...
I think we need to wait for the
pictures. They've
put
in technology that makes it good. And yeah, well, until you see them, I guess you can't really tell.
Well, and to be fair, when I was buying cameras, I think mine's is 18, my DSLR was 18 megapixels, but you know, some of the images were incompatible with 10 and 11 Nikons. You know, so it's, I think it's just... Need to wait and see. LED flash, which is a bit meh. We'll just need to...
They're always a bit meh, aren't they?
Yep. The video, however, looked quite impressive. 720p, 30 frames per second.
So, yeah, so we're talking...
And I saw some videos yesterday that looked
nearly
really... They looked really clean.
But if you want to edit them on your own, on it, you're going to have to pay more.
Okay,
why
so
do
that,
they do that?
So that, so, the, so they're using... They're bringing out an iMovie app, and the actual app itself looks... A very impressive app, and from the comments, from the comments I've seen today, it's like they're, you know, even some of the ardent Android and ardent Windows guys are saying that's the kind of app that we don't see on another platform. Yeah. That level of polish, level of ease of use, you just don't see anywhere else. But they're charging $5 for it. Now, to me, that should be part of the phone.
I think it should be part of it. If you buy the new phone, then it should be part of it.
Everybody's going to buy this.
Download it for an old phone, can you? I don't know whether that's possible, whether you can have it for the 3GS.
Well, I would have thought
if you
would
can,
be able
then maybe
to.
I can see a paying for that. But if you're buying the new phone, it should come on it.
Yeah, I just think, and I think that was me that called out last night. I think at first, I think you and Henry weren't too fast, and then it was like, well, hold on. That sucks. I'd have liked to have seen that just on the phone. So that I go and buy a phone, I can record and it's there. I don't need to go to the App Store and create an account and download
You're
it.
You're already spending, you know, $300, whatever. So,
yes.
Come on.
So, iPhone OS is no more. It's now the iOS, which was, I think, only a matter of time because the word phone in it was getting increasingly problematic.
I have an issue with just small eyes in front of everything. I think they need to move on.
Yeah, I know you do, but it's there. It's not going to change.
It's there. It's not changing. I'm going to go and register a whole ton of other eye things.
So for current...
I piss off.
Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should just think of eye everything. I bet you that... Oh, hold on. Everybody will have done that by now.
Eye gimp.
The eye podcast.
This is the iCast.
Yeah. It comes out on 21st of June. So,
which isn't very far away.
Nope.
Not long for your bank balance to recover.
Well, no, that's not the phone. That's just the iOS 4.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah. Right back at you.
Still not long, though.
I have downloaded the Gold Master. I have the new iTunes beta, and I probably will stick it on at some point.
Yeah, and just let us know what it's like, I guess.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've got to.
Pretty sure it's going to make my 3G a bit clunky.
Well, I mean, everybody I know that's got an iPhone said that when the version 3 came out, it made the 3G just feel sluggish.
Yeah, mine's still chunting along.
Yeah.
It's not particularly good at the moment. We'll see.
Bing's been added, which we all kind of knew.
Yeah, so it's they've got three options now. So they've got Yahoo search, Google search, and Bing search.
Yep, Google's still the default. Although, interestingly, last night when they went to do the demos, it had all been defaulted to Bing. But seemingly that was just for... And I don't know if that was just to tie up with the actual announcement. You know, so people could try
probably.
It. And you made a good point last night that when you compare the screenshots, if you look at Google, you're getting 4 search results returned, and Yahoo was 4 search results, but Bing was 1.5 on
screen. Bing was half a screen worth of navigation.
Yeah, which is really...
They do that on everything, you know, when their browsers are still, you know, half a screen of buttons.
I know.
they're still not good at that.
Even toolbars, and it's something you notice when you fire up the Office online tonight, when I tried it, just straight away there was just like a
ribbon.
There's an inch of like ribbon stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. iAds from 1st of July. Great.
I can't believe they did so long on the iAds, and I know it's a developer conference, and the iAds is designed to make developers money or whatever. So, but
I just, well, there was two things. I remember I was howling that that was the eighth point last night.
We were just waiting with bated breath about what was going to be this exciting eighth point. It was
one of the shockers, but is that they've got $60 million worth of ads already.
Yes,
which is like. That is big money.
Again,
nowhere.
I think it's a 60-40 split, is it, or something?
Developers yes.
To Apple.
Yes. So it's a nice chunk of change.
It's going to add to their $40 billion bank balance, isn't it?
Yep. So their one more thing was FaceTime,
which is video chat.
It's video chat, which, when you watch the videos, is seemingly going to revolutionise the world. Unless you've been using a 3G video chat for the last 3 years.
And let's be clear, this isn't 3G video chat, no. This is Wi-Fi video chat.
So it's Wi-Fi only, and I think L Jobs made it quite clear last night that they have to work with some of the mobile phone companies before they can open it up further. And I'm guessing there must have been discussions around, do we make that a chargeable extra?
Well, if Skype are already having to charge extra, and we don't know whether that's Skype charging or whether that's phone platform, phone networks saying you're going to have to charge for Skype delivery, video delivery, but I don't know. There's all sorts of things going on. I think everyone's realizing the phone networks really aren't capable of supporting all this data that's going on.
Well, certainly in America, AT&T. I think what's come out, me quickly looking through people's feedback today, is that this phone looks to have jumped ahead of the others again ever so slightly.
Yeah,
but the actual network itself is the deciding factor now.
And what we've got the benefit now in our country, we've got three providers now on three completely independent networks. Yeah, well, I think they're independent. Whether they are, I don't know.
Well, and it was brought up last week and it's definitely a thing worth watching. The All Things D. Conference last week. I guess it was three ones that I liked. It was Steve Jobs one, there was the Zuckerberg one, and there was Steve Ballmer. I think they were interesting in all their own rights, but the full-length uncut video came out yesterday. And on that, one of the questions was, you know, in the UK, you've opened up, you've got three networks, it's not hurt your sales. It's not hurt their sales, they're all enjoying having the iPhone. So why not in America? And all he said was, well, we'll see what happens. And I think they're still talking about, they reckon there's some sort of exclusive deal that they've got with AT&T, which they can't get out of.
Yeah, and they've kind of, every time they pushed AT&T, I guess AT&T have probably tied them in longer, said, yeah, we can expand our coverage, but you know.
Yeah, we need to be an exclusive.
But yeah, we'll do that, and we'll put that investment in, but you've got to promise us for the next, another... 18 months.
And I think that's the bit that's hurting them the most. Anyway, on to the launch. 24th of June, so not long. Definitely not long enough for my bank balance to recover.
Exactly.
It's 16. So the other thing I was surprised, I thought they might have done a 64 gig, but no, it's two versions, 16 gig for now. And this is a bit I don't know, the contract length, and it's only US prices at the moment because there's no UK prices, but $199 16 gig and $299 32 gig, which seems a decent price for what the hardware was.
Yes, yeah, so it's going to be decent until they tell us that's a 3-year contract at $60 a month.
3-year contract and every 3 months a pint of blood.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, you must drink from the cup. It's unfortunately, they haven't released our prices, so we don't know. We're going to be releasing at the same time, which is
so good. O2 were right on the ball. Within like a couple of minutes of the keynote finishing, they had their page up. You could register your details, and they also want your address because they'll send you a micro SIM, so you've got your SIM for launch. And from what I read on Twitter, seemingly they were very sharp when it came to the iPad launch as well, making sure that they had the micro SIMs out in time for people for the iPad launch. So they seem quite switched on with this kind of thing. I'm not so sure about the other two yet. Orange had a bit of a holding page later on last night. I think Vodafone did something today.
I think after this speech, this is definitely compelling again for me now. I'm coming out to the end of my current contract, and I'm now going to be torn because I think this is a good device.
And it's funny you say that. I was down in Bristol at one of the offices we've got down south, and one of the guys there was a definite my contract's up, I'm going to Android. And today he's like, nope, I'm buying an iPhone 2 weeks' time. And I was
exactly the same way as I'm feeling at the moment.
I was very surprised because I've had a couple of discussions with him. And as you, I think I've told you before, I think Android's now up there. You know, I think it's like there's small points either side and you know, there's not much between them.
I just don't know what I'm going to do now. I mean, the other thing about the iPhone now being on different platforms is that I don't have to go with O2, and O2 coverage for me around here is very poor.
Yeah, I remember you said
but
before.
Orange and Vodafone could be better, and I'm going to have a look into that.
Yeah, for me, O2 is fine right now. You know, yep. I just don't have an issue. You know, the 3G network here is actually pretty good. You know, it's all very usable.
So yes, I'll let everyone know where I go. But say my contract's up, I might sit it out for another month or two and just see where I want to go with it. But I am a bit torn again now.
So, and from what I understand, it's 24th of June launch, which is 2 weeks on Thursday. Seemingly, there's pre-orders from the 14th. So I expect within the next 7 days, we'll get pricing. I think, so AT&T, Jobs last night said AT&T are doing a good deal with trade-ins and you know, upgrades, and as long as you sign up for another 2 years. A bit like what we had from the original iPhone to the 3G, and not what we had last year from the 3 to the 3GS. And O2 have said the same, that they're going to have decent deals to get people to upgrade and commit again.
It did cause a bit of a palaver, didn't it?
Yes. I think that seemed to be the bit that stung people last year. It was like they expected the same treatment as the year before. But the year before, the iPhone had come out in November and the 3G came out in July or June. There wasn't that much time between them. So I think I'm buying one.
Yeah, no, think about it. Come on. No, think about it. I mean,
well, it's odd because people last year said to me, 3GS, I don't know why you're bothering, but I was more excited about the 3GS going from 3G than I am with this. I don't know why.
No, this is much more of a step upgrade rather than incremental.
Yeah, and everybody was saying the same to me today, and I don't, maybe it's just because I've got an iPad. I just feel like a bit meh.
You're all new product out.
Maybe. But then again, if we've all got FaceTime, we can do some video podcasting.
Can you record it all, can you?
Probably not.
No, I doubt it.
So I think a pretty good iPhone. I still think what was noticeable last night was the stuff they didn't announce. So there's nothing on cloud, there's nothing on Apple TVs, there's a whole load of stuff that I want them to come out with that's just not there.
No announcement on what they're doing with Lala.
No. I reckon they're going to do something, and in 2-3 months it'll be a Apple Cloud, here's what we're doing, and it'll be a keynote all around that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's no need for them to actually announce it all. They've announced enough already, I think.
I think there was, I mean, straight after that, but over the next sort of 2-3 hours, there's a couple other things that they've done. So Xcode 4 was demoed, everybody that's seen it's under an NDA, so the people were twittering about it and then getting caught.
Right.
And Apple weren't too happy about some of the stuff coming out. Safari 5 also came out after the keynote. So I don't really know anybody that uses Safari on the PC. I certainly stuck it on my work Windows box and was a bit, yeah, it's okay.
I use Chrome. It, but only to cross-browser check.
I've got it on just for that purpose as well. It's another browser if I need another environment where I want a cookie held compared to some other sessions I'm running.
I mean, it's very nice on PC. You know, it's quick. It's nearly up there with Chrome. It's good looking. So you know, what more do you want, really?
And I guess very
standards.
Yeah, I guess very quickly, as you're saying, fast. I think they're now saying it's 3% faster than Chrome, and I think Chrome will just come out with something next week that'll be they'll be 3% faster.
I don't know how they're measuring it anymore. Anyway,
it's crazy. All I know is, see when I'm using Chrome. And see when I'm using Safari, I feel I'm using a fast browser. See when I'm using Firefox, I don't feel I'm using a fast browser. And that's all I really care about now.
Yeah,
I don't see any difference between them. I just think, yep, snappy, that'll do me.
I know we're not trying to ramble, but we have missed out one important thing.
Oh, have I?
And that was the Steve Jobs tantrum.
Oh, damn, you're right. I meant to cover that because it was twice. It was a FaceTime and it was when they were doing a display thing.
He stopped. He looked at the class.
Yeah.
He said, right, kids, if you don't stop playing around, I'm not going to do this next demo. And I mean it. You put all your laptops down or I'm not going on.
And what made me chuckle was the people live blogging were like, yeah, they've asked us to stop. Like, that is going to happen. And then 2 minutes later, oh my God, he's been serious. Steve just said he's got all night. I'm not in a rush.
He actually did proper teacher stuff.
And what was interesting was a lot of people I was following, that I normally follow on Twitter, who were live tweeting, were like, have to stop now. I'm having to shut my device down.
I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah, so they were having troubles with their Wi-Fi connection because there's so many people using it.
Yeah.
And he did. He literally said, if you don't all stop using the Wi-Fi connection here, then I'm not doing it.
The bit that made me chuckle the most... The 3GS worked and the iPhone 4 didn't. That just, there was a little inner devil was like, that's what you get. And also seemingly, and I'm downloaded the keynote tonight, I've not had a chance to watch it, like, I just want to watch these certain sections. Seemingly when he did his FaceTime call with Johnny Ives, it was all very stuttery as well.
They must hurt them inside when that things like that happen.
Facepalm.
You would have thought, though, they would have their own little network for their own devices.
Exactly.
Rather than using the main one, anyway.
And there was some crazy stat. Was it something like, was it 500 MiFi devices or something?
Right, and which all give out 6 points, don't they?
Yeah, so I think they were saying that because of all these MiFis, it was just gone crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, we said we were going to not ramble too much and...
And we have. We're almost done. I had one more thing. On Safari, signed extensions, but the little interesting thing, there was a reader view. And the reader view, I had done a pick once about a readability bookmark or a bookmarklet that turned all the guff around an article and made it nice and clear. Yep. That's what this reader view does.
Okay.
And it actually works quite nicely. So I'm in BBC News right now, and I was reading out that government lays out Fastnet plan. And where it usually says RSS, it now says reader. And if I click on that, it's like a lightbox effect, and I just get the text to read. Very, very nice and clear.
Nice.
Anyway.
I think that is, okay.
That's moving on, because I've been told off. But we mentioned at the top of that WWDC ramble that we all expected Apple to do a magazine-type platform. And it looks like Adobe's stepping in.
Certainly are. Looks like it very much, doesn't it?
So the Adobe Digital Platform, and this is based on the work they've done with Wired over the last, or Condé Nast, I should say, over the last year. They're launching a digital publishing platform based on a combination of Creative Suite 5 and specifically using InDesign and a way of publishing out to a number of devices, including iPad.
Yep, so this is a common sort of interactive format, I guess.
Yes.
That they can use, say, their CS suite to generate the code. A bit like where they were going to do with, some of their Flash cross-compilers, but I guess they're making sure that they actually chuck it out as Objective-C for the iPad.
Well, the Wired app itself, the Objective-C part, the app bit, is just a few K. It's very, very tiny. Out of that 520 or 530 meg app, there is 360 odd meg of PNGs.
Wow, yeah, it's a lot, isn't it?
Every page has been rendered in landscape and portrait. They're all obviously very, very high definition screens or images, because even when you zoom right in, they're crystal clear. And the only thing that's surprising is things like you can play like video and sound and stuff like that in the Wired magazine itself, and you get the little progress bar.
Yeah,
that's made up of individual JPEGs to show progress.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it is version. I mean Apple kind of caught them on the hop with this decision to ban the Flash stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. They had to work out how to do it already.
I think they've had like 3 or 4 weeks to get their act together and get something out for Condé Nast. So I think some of the what looks like shortcuts have taken are fair enough, because to the average user. Not going to know that.
No, nope.
Doesn't matter. Apart from the fact it took 500 meg to download.
Yeah, why the hell didn't it install quickly? But yeah, so Adobe basically creating a whole platform, and you know, a lot of magazines nowadays are created in, you know, InDesign is rapidly becoming a pretty industry standard. Because it's just a lot cheaper and more accessible and works with all the packages. And so if you get magazine publishers and, you know, even, I guess, even newsletters for, you know, for even companies and stuff like that. But if you get them a easy system where they can export into an interactive publishing format and get it onto people's devices, well, brilliant.
Definitely.
And especially if Apple haven't got theirs, you know, got their stuff together.
Hmm. Oh no, definitely. And I the other thing I was starting to think, if they're pumping this stuff out in PDF or whatever format, I'm sure one of the ones I'll start targeting is HTML5 as well.
Yeah, sure.
So it looks like Adobe are in at the right stage.
Yep.
And finally.
Yes, and finally.
So and it was our friend Henry had added the first one, and Nokia have launched a bicycle charging kit for mobiles. No note on pricing, but by the end of this year, you'll be able to add on a charging kit for your mobile phone on your bike.
And I guess that's for when you, I guess because they're now sending with all the sat nav, aren't they? Every Nokia has sat nav. You can whack it onto your bike and go for a sat nav ride.
Yeah. Class. And I thought that was a nice ending to our podcast. Until I saw the Orange Power Wellies.
Brilliant.
So, Orange, and I actually had to, I loved the actual title for the article, which was, "Here comes the hot stepper, Orange unveils the Orange Power Wellies." So these have been launched just in time for festival season here in the UK, and they convert heat from your feet into electricity. So plug your phone into your welly, and you'll never be without power.
Surely this is the future of energy generation.
Does that mean if it doesn't rain at Glastonbury?
Everyone's going to be without their phones.
Yeah. So, and that's our stories for this week. We'll move on to our pickety picks. I don't know why I said pickety picks. You do know that in the edit, I'm going to just say we'll move on to our picks and that whole bit will be gone.
Oh no, we've got to keep pickety picks in.
Pickety picks. I'm going to go first now to get rid of the shame. Mine's is very specific to iPad users. The iPad's a gorgeous screen. It comes with a couple of nice images, but it's actually quite easy to get a really badly distracting background image. And so one place to sort that is iPadwalls.com, which gives you a load of nice screens already at the right resolution, which you can download and install as a background. No more than that. But they're all, I think they're all at 1024 by 1024 resolution, so that whether it's horizontal or vertical or landscape or portrait, orientation, you still get a nice, properly sized picture.
There you go. Do they download onto the device, or how does it work?
Well, you can just save it in the images folder and then just crack on. It's all pretty straightforward. And that's my pick. Chris,
okay, my pick.
Your pick, please.
My pick was just something I saw during the weekend. It was brilliant. Someone pointed out to me on beta, b3ta.com, /links/ Lego_printer. And this is, someone has actually created a fully functioning printer using Lego and felt tips. And it's just brilliant. They've actually got a proper old... they've got a proper printer driver and everything, and so they show this thing printing out, and they've just done some really nice touches. So not only is it made out of Lego, but they've got little Lego men sat on sat at computers operating it, and these little foremen sort of are going along with the printer carrier.
I'm just watching a video.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's like little horses, Lego horses that like turn some of the cogs and things. It's just, you know, very, very clever. That, so go and genius. Have a look at that. It's b3ta.com/links/Lego_printer.
I'm just glad you actually called it beta and not b3ta.
What rather than whatever the other one scribed?
Scribd.
Yeah.
I even if I have to listen back to all the other 50 episodes, I will find the one that you said you're one on. I shall have my revenge. So, thanks for listening this week. If you want to find out more about us, we are on our website at www.digitaloutbox.com. We'd love to get your emails, info@digitaloutbox.com. And we're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. I'd also like to thank those that added on an iTunes review. I'd really appreciate if you could do it, because it seems to be the key way for other people to start picking up our show on iTunes. So it all helps the discovery for us. So if you can find 5 minutes and jump on and put a review in, much appreciate it. Chris, where can we find out more about you?
Best place is Twitter with Cheesy UK.
And for me, I have a blog, eandd.net, and my Twitter account is Shweepa. And that's us. That's our birthday issue. Happy Why birthday. Am I saying issue? God damn. Said it all bloody night. Oh.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. I'm obviously having a one-year-old tantrum.
Huff out those candles.
1, 2, 3. I've made a wish. People will leave me an iTunes review. That's so cheesy. Anyway, thanks for listening and join us again soon. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
I've just realised I've not got the music queued up. How awful is that?
Dum 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 dum.
I had my touchscreen all set up, that would have just worked instantly.
You wouldn't have had an issue with
that. Yeah, I'm going to have to go and buy that app just to do that one thing. Which I know is terrible, but it needs must.